Now a story about what President Eisenhower might have been talking about when he warned the nation to beware of the military-industrial complex. The latest high-tech aircraft now on its way to Iraq is the V-22 Osprey. It's an aircraft that can take off and land like a helicopter, then rotate its engines and fly high and fast like an airplane. Perfect for dropping troops into combat and getting them out quickly. Well, at least that's the theory. But the story of the Osprey has not been smooth. The aircraft has been in development for over 25 years, twice as long as it took the Apollo program to get men to the moon. There were safety concerns, test crashes, cost overruns, and so many questions that even Dick Cheney, when he was defense secretary, tried to kill the program four times. But it marched on, sucking up $20 billion. If you have questions about the Osprey, what makes it different, how it's survived, what it says about the way we pay for and develop our weapon systems and the way Washington works, give us a call at 800-989-8255. The email is talk@npr.org. We're joined by Mark Thompson. He's a reporter for Time magazine who wrote this week's cover story about the V-22 Osprey, and he joins us from his home in Kensington, Maryland. And Mark Thompson, welcome.
Thank you, Anthony.
First of all, nice work on the story. What's so special about this V-22 Osprey? What was it supposed to do that was so remarkable?
Well, I think if you look back at the whole presence of aviation in warfare, I mean, in reality, World War II was the first time fixed-wing aircraft got involved in a big way. Vietnam was the first time helicopters got involved in a big way. And now we're on the cusp of seeing a tilt-rotor technology, which combines the speed of a turboprop airplane with the vertical lift of a helicopter getting involved in the Iraq war. It's quite a technological marvel if it works.
And if it works, the idea is it replaces those big, cumbersome choppers from the Vietnam era. Is that correct?
Well, that's the goal. That's right. I mean, there are some things choppers still can do better, such as a short hop. But for long-range troop insertions, perhaps for medical evacuations, something like the Osprey would seem to be the cat's meow.
Hmm. So give us some of the highlights of this program. We talked about the bumpy road. What happened along the way here during the development of the V-22?
Well, I saw its predecessor, the XV-15, fly in 1981 outside of Washington. It was a two-person aircraft. It was very nimble. It was very agile. And it could do a lot of things that when they decided to go from a two-person aircraft to a 26-person aircraft, they couldn't do in the bigger aircraft. Initially, they were going to build more than 1,000 of these for $40 million apiece. Now we're down to 468 at $120 million apiece. Originally, the U.S. Army was going to be the main buyer of this aircraft. After looking at the price in 1983, a quarter century ago, the Army bailed out. And there's been, you know, now the Marines are basically the big enchilada in the V-22 program. The Air Force and perhaps the Navy are going to buy a handful, but it's primarily a Marine show. And when it ran into trouble and it ran into cost overruns and Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney tried to cancel it four times, the fact that the V-22 is built in by 2,000 contractors spread across more than 40 states had a lot to do with it staying alive.
Mm, and I want to talk a little bit about that. We're talking to Mark Thompson. He's a reporter for Time magazine who wrote this week's cover story on the Osprey V-22. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Mark Thompson, I want to talk about some of the problems with this aircraft. You write that there were two major requirements at the beginning of the Osprey's development. Can you tell us about those two requirements and how they ended up in the design or not?
Yeah, I mean, it's important to realize, Anthony, that all aircraft have very many requirements. And as we reflect back on the Osprey's development, there were at least two that fell by the wayside sort of quietly. I mean, up through the year 2000, when the two most recent fatal crashes occurred, it had always been a requirement that if the Osprey, the V-22, were flying like a helicopter, that it be able to land safely with its crew members and passengers on board if it lost engine power, for whatever reason. The XV-15 could do that, and everybody said the V-22 must do that. However, after flight tests showed that this was going to be very difficult for a plethora of reasons, i.e. this capability to auto-rotate, which is sort of how maple seeds fall from the trees in the fall and sort of flutter safely or slowly to the ground.
Yeah, and this is what a helicopter can do if the engine is disabled. It can sort of make a hard but survivable landing.
That's right, that's right. And this was a requirement for the V-22 until it became obvious that because of compromises that have been made in the design in terms of the length of the rotor blades, in terms of how many rotor blades there were, in terms of the design of the blades themselves, that this was not going to be possible, everybody basically said, oh, forget it, we don't need this. And that's a pretty radical decision, because if you get in trouble up there and you're below 2,500 feet, which is pretty high, half a mile high, and if you lose power, or even if you just lose power in one engine and the drive shaft that's supposed to power both rotors from that one engine goes, a far more likely occurrence, you are doomed.
Right.
And that's a pretty sad spot to be in. Mm.
And what was the other requirement? It had something to do with the way the aircraft would be able to lay down suppressing fire. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, this is a combat assault support aircraft. Its job is to take Marines into harm's way. And when General Jim Jones, a very respected Marine officer, was commandant of the Marine Corps from 1999 to 2003, there was some equivocation over what sort of weaponry it would have, and he just laid down the law. He said, listen, this thing's going to have a forward-aimed 50-caliber machine gun. It's going to be able to be fired by the co-pilot looking through a sight in his helmet, and it's going to be wonderful. And everyone saluted. They gave a $45 million contract. Everyone said this is going to be the best thing since sliced bread. It would protect our troops in harm's way. Then when Jones left to become Supreme Allied Commander Europe, well, so did the requirement go away. Both for reasons of weight, the entire gun would weigh over 1,000 pounds, and the Osprey cannot take one additional ounce of payload, and cost, $1.5 million a copy, which some Marines thought was exorbitant and were very upset about. In any event, what they ended up doing was going with a pretty standard man-carried M240 machine gun that will be hooked to the rear ramp of the aircraft only when that rear ramp is open. Okay. And it fires relatively puny bullets compared to the gun it was supposed to.
Okay, Mark Thompson, stop by. I want to bring in a caller. Dan is calling from Cleveland. Hi, Dan.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well.
I wanted to comment on the Osprey. I was a Marine officer from 1995 till 2005.
Dan, we have very little time, and I want your comment, but please make it quick. Thank you.
Back in the early 90s, I was in Quantico when the Osprey crashed. I was in California when we killed a bunch of Marines in a test because we landed two Ospreys too close to each other. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't know a single Marine officer, pilot, or infantry that wants to get inside of an Osprey.
Hmm. Let me run that by Mark Thompson. Mark Thompson, what did you hear? What did you hear? Is what our caller just said? Is that consistent with what you found in your reporting?
Yeah, there's some nervousness. There's always nervousness with a new aircraft. When the new aircraft is as radical as the V-22 is, there's a greater degree of nervousness.
Hmm. And yet, you also quote a test pilot who says who has faith in this aircraft and that it's a good and reliable aircraft.
Yeah, I mean, what's very interesting is, the younger the pilot, the more gung-ho he or she is, and the older, more senior the pilot, the more concerns they have. I found that in several of my interviews. I think that's the nature of flying. I think that's the nature of war, and that's why I think we have to rely on folks like General Jones, a four-star officer, when he lays down some markers that, you know, the nation, the Marines, and the Congress respond to what he lays down.
Well, Mark Thompson, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Mark Thompson. He's a reporter for Time magazine. You can read his article on the Osprey V-22 in this week's issue of Time, which is on newsstands now. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Anthony Brooks in Washington.